Hi everyone. This is the final of our too short run of Girl by Moonlight. My name is Donna. My pronouns are he, him. I am running the game. I'll put a link in the too short. I'll put a link in the description to this marvelous, Forged in Dark game by Andrew Gillis, which you should definitely check out. So let's get intros from our players and their characters, and I guess we will jump into where we left it last week. Sorry, my desktop is not behaving itself, so I can't tell who is first in the character keeper.
Is Cordelia.
Thank you.
Hi everybody. I'm Ian. I use he, him pronouns. And I'm playing Cordelia, who uses she, her pronouns. Cordelia is a mild-mannered maintenance repair worker in the bowels of our huge generation temple ship. Normally completely beneath notice. But by moonlight, she transforms into the mysterious and dashing Redshift, who uses they them pronouns and is the pilot of the Jaguar mech Tezcatlipoca. When I say no one knows that the two are the same person, I put a heavy asterisk after that because at this point, both of my teammates have learned that I am, in fact, the pilot of that engine, despite not being qualified for it. I never passed the test.
But I think you may have passed the only test that counts. That's of that of your fellow pilots. But thank you. And let's hear from Sabine and Jet.
Yeah, hi, I'm Sabine. I use any pronouns, and I play Jet, who uses, I think, he, him pronouns. Jet is a Proskan convict. So didn't actually mean to be a pilot, just turned out that he had the thing where he could transcend, and then they said you go be a pilot instead of and you do your prison sentence, of course. I mean that there's no getting that. But Jed has connected with both of his teammates now, and I think last time we saw him go out with Iris for a night on the town, which surprised Jed to no end because and he had the chance to run, but he couldn't leave Iris, who was totally drunk and somewhere in the rough spaces of these ships. He likes to pretend that he's super rebellious, but he, well, there's stuff he won't do. So
Awesome. I'm Matt. I use they, them, or any pronouns. I am playing Iris, also known as Horizon, who is a chosen agent of the congregation who travels through time to retrieve holy relics and to connect with gods from the distant past. Iris has done some is sort of at her wit's end, studying the plans of the ship and the attack that just happened, and studying ancient texts and trying to piece together this mystery. I've heard rumors of a cult or a group that is praying to the gods that sent a Leviathan on our ship. And I suspect that our commander might know more about that. And yeah, I think the question is Iris going to be able to do this forever? And is it going to weigh on her so much that she snaps and breaks away? Or is she going to see it through and prevent the dark fate of my friend Jet?
Okay. So last time we didn't quite get through our downtime actions, so we have one left for Cordelia and one left for Jet, if my notes can be trusted. Cordelia, do you have anything in mind? You're muted.
I'm just pulling up here the list really quickly because I want to be able to make sure that I want to, I'm always trying to do something clever with these. I think that Cordelia is feeling very alone at the moment. Even though she's revealed her, this sort of secret to both of her team members, who she cares about very much in very different ways, there wasn't a kind of like, it doesn't feel like there was a sort of great revelation that kind of accompanied that. I think that she was expecting, in so many words, but she was expecting that she would reveal that secret and then everything would change. But she's still in the same situation and she still has the same frustrations and she still feels that the ship at large and Iris in particular are kind of like underestimating her, overestimating Redshift. Is frustrated that what she I don't think she would have the words to articulate this at the moment, but the work that she's done, the sort of like acts of heroism that she's done, don't seem to have won her any in very much in the way of love or like acceptance, and have only they only seem to have won her further obligation. And so I think that she is just like boiling over, just desperate to try to make a connection. And I think we will see her outside the door of let's say Raffi's quarters. Raffi is this sort of like really cute engine pilot who Cordelia has had a big crush on and was a big part of her wanting to become an engine pilot in the first place. Who seems to have been compromised in some as yet on unexplored ways. And she is like just knuckles 2 inches from Rafi's door, like finger hovering over the buzzer to try to talk to him. And I think she just can't bring herself to do it. There's just like too much to explain. There's too much for her to work through. She's embarrassed at the idea of not having her, if you'll pardon my language, like not having her shit together. And so she is like turning with hot tears in her eyes and is running to the hangar to connect with someone that she knows will understand her, which is to Skylie Coca, I think.
Does Cordelia like change her mind before she knocks, or does she like knock and run when she realizes?
She knocks and runs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, what do you hear inside that really brings it home for you? That, Raffi is coming to the door.
I think that he is, if it's okay for me to like
Take
the
liberties. Take
hammer
liberties.
here a little bit. Yeah, I think I just hear him kind of like, shuffling and grunting and stuff. And I think maybe I've like woken him up. like, you know, in the middle of sleep. And part of what I, you know, part of my realization is like, oh my God, I'm like really overstepping my bounds here. Oh my God, like he's a pilot too. He's exhausted, you know. And so I'm running and turning the corner right before the door opens. And when he comes to the door, or you know, like let's say that he comes to the door, he looks awful. He looks so bad. Just like sallow skin, you know, like oily hair. It's more than just being like sick or tired or something. He looks, he's got like the dark bags under his eyes.
So when you get to Tezcatlipoca, you know, what do you say or what do you do that kind of makes you feel more at home here than you fear you could ever be with anyone else?
I think that she's just like talking to it. I don't know that this engine has ever spoken to me. I don't know that any of the engines speak. And so she feels a little silly as she's saying, as she's, you know, as she's sort of speaking to Scatlipopta, but she says, she says, I guess I thought I wanted the spotlight, I was upset for a while when I found out that piloting you meant that I couldn't bond with Shamash or one of the brighter ones. But maybe we were a good fit the entire time. Maybe that's not what I'm meant for.
Yeah, I think there's something like, I don't know, some kind of power surge or power drain that, you know, Tezcatlipoca is definitely initiating that kind of shuts down the lights elsewhere in the hangar. So it's really, really dark around Tezcatlipoca, but it's still brighter than anywhere else.
Yeah. I think she's like laying, you know, she's laying her hand on the side of the machine and she's feeling the systems moving within it. Like breathing. The scarf is beginning to sort of form. It's like weaving itself out of thin air, you know. It's winding its way around her face. And her, you know, her voice is changing as she says, you know, as she says, that's fine. Let's give them what they wanted. I'm going to begin the mission Transcendence.
So I think you should roll confess. That seems like confess to me. Like your secret fears and hopes.
Yeah, that seems right, doesn't it? This is one six-sided die for confess. I rolled a six.
I am. So that is four links with Tezcatlipoca.
I was so confessional, and in a way that I couldn't be with my deacon. One, two, three, four. Nice.
Awesome. Do you think anyone else catches sight of this, like, strange communion, or is this completely secret for Cordelia?
I definitely don't want for her to notice if anybody is observing, but if you have an idea or if anybody has an idea for who might see this happening, I will happily.
I think in that, or sorry, Sabine, were you gonna?
I mean, I was going to say something, but if you have an idea,
I'm
go
just
ahead.
thinking back to when Iris was with Serena at the temple, and Cordelia was watching unnoticed. I feel like both of us like getting a little window into each other's private moments, and like the differences of our facial expressions as we watch the other. I think it's a very complicated look for Iris, being the captain, knowing she might have overstepped during their last mission, but that it's in her nature to do so. And sort of coming to grips with the fact that I think like she, it didn't really register during that confrontation, like full of adrenaline last time, but now really registering that it's, you know, her childhood best friend, sweetheart, that is redshift and sort of watching the scarf dance around her. Like, I can't protect everybody.
Maybe you could have protected me, but that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to that scene, Ian?
I just, if Sabine had an idea, I'd like to hear it.
Oh, nothing much. It ties in with I still have a downtime action anyway, so because I think after returning with Iris and putting her wherever she needs to go, right? Somebody will take care of her. I'm pretty sure she has some servant or something I can gently give her to so that they'll be safe and so that I can just blend into the background. And I was thinking of going to look for Cordelia because, I mean, now I'm not in jail. There's no guard. I can talk to her now about the whole redshift thing. And then I see her in the hangar with her machine and she's transcending. And I'm thinking, maybe do this later. Because, I mean, I don't think we're very verbal when we're transcended. And I don't know if I want to transcend with her. Like, that would be a little too intimate, right? And I mean, I don't know her that well. No.
Hard
So
to have a hard to have a TV show if you don't have a little will they, won't they, you know? Like,
right. So you see him standing there thinking, damn it, now, right now I've got the time, and right now you're, well, in your feelings. Fine, be like that. Okay, but I still want to connect to someone, Iris. I don't think Iris is, I mean, I have kind of connected with Iris, but maybe I'll just connect with my machine as well. Because that is the touchstone, right? Maybe Cordelia's got it right. Maybe this is the one that you can rely on, your machine. And besides, Shamash took a bit of a beating last time, and Shamash does not like to be dinged up and stuff like that. And the other techs, they can never really make it right. So I'm taking Shamash out because Shamash likes lights, right? And there is a sun close by, so we'll just go there and see if we can add a little shine. And then I will tell Shamash all of my woes with my teammates, and Shamash is sentimental. And we'll start playing some sort of romantic, super old-timey love songs. I imagine a soundtrack like something from the 50s or something. Some kind of
Can I
jazzy
suggest
love,
something?
huh?
Can I suggest a song? Can it be I'll Be Seeing You by Billie Holiday?
Yeah, I don't know that, but yeah, that sounds exactly like the vibe I was going for, and that sounds like the vibe that Shamash would really go for. And I will, yes, as I said, I will tell Shamash all my emotional troubles with checkers, who I really want to get back to, but also my teammates, who I, for whatever fucking reason, care about, apparently. Even Iris, who's an entitled brat, right? But and then Cordelia, who is not an entitled brat, which I thought she was, but she's not. I mean, Redshift's not. But you, my old friend, you're what you seem to be, right? Just like me. We're both not super hiding our hearts or anything. So glad to be with you. Glad to look at the sun. Yeah, maybe pull down the shades a little.
So do you think this is express or
I
is
think this
this?
is express,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay. So yeah, why don't you roll the die and let's
One
see.
die. See how this goes. Yes, that goes super well. Shamash likes being my uncomplicated friend.
Another six. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, do you think when you go out, do you think you see something together that almost like causes you to bond, not just like what you're telling Shamash, but maybe something Shamash shows you or some kind
Yeah.
of maneuver Shamash goes through?
Yeah, I think there's a, let's say it's a not a planet precisely, and big asteroid, big something like Pluto, right? But it has sort of an atmosphere, and when you fly on the albedo, you can see all these colors, like the aurora borealis, northern lights, in this, and we watch this together, and play this hopeful, I think, love song. And yeah, for about 5 minutes, there's no Leviathan, there's no complicated teammates, there's no oppressive government, there's just, and then I'd probably get someone on the comm saying, "Hey, what are you doing out there?"
Speaking of oppressive governments,
Yeah.
come back in. It's time for dinner or whatever it is they say.
Yeah, probably something. What are you even doing out there?
Yeah.
And I will totally say that Iris told me to go out here and train with my machine, because
Okay.
I think that she will not admit that she won't remember much of what happened last night.
Okay.
So, and maybe she won't throw me under the bus. I don't know.
Okay. So, I think Iris, you'll get a ping maybe right before your alarm clock wakes you up, or before you get a call for a mission to come in for a briefing. You know, like just a ping that your name was put in the logbook. You know, to explain a previously un scheduled flight where one of your pilots took out their engine. And you know, there's a swipe for yes, you know, hit this button for no kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I'm just barely conscious.
Yeah.
Fumbling at my phone.
So yeah, you get called in for the mission briefing, and Rafi looks not half as tired as he did a little bit earlier today. He looks a bit wired. Maybe he's had one too many interstellar espressos. And yeah. What kind of mission are you fancying? As before, you can choose whatever you want. You have some readiness, so a level one mission will be standard, no disadvantage. But a level two mission is definitely possible now. Find the descriptions on the series sheet if you want to check it out.
Does anybody have a suggestion or proposal for something that they want to do?
I know,
I have an
idea.
idea I'd
Yeah,
like
go
to.
ahead. If you had an idea, go ahead.
I'm kind of interested in recovering a fallen engine.
Yes, me too.
I think that could be really cool, especially given the, events of the past like couple sessions. I guess we don't want to have this sort of like show finale of like finally arriving at the last, at the destination or anything. Like that seems like a season five thing. So yeah, I think I would like to see if we can, in one of these like fallen, like sort of like ruined planets that we're passing by. I want to see if maybe there's an engine down there.
No, I think maybe we had discussed engines being in some way remnants of gods from other times or fragments of their consciousness or something like that. And I know that we have time travel as a central theme and portals potentially still available to us. I wonder if this is a mission through time. And if maybe it's the first time that the other two have been cleared to go back to another time and place to retrieve an engine to aid in the war effort.
Maybe it's the first engine that we're supposed to retrieve, because I mean just some random engine that, but the first one.
Yeah, some really ancient, like primal god that we've only just begun to learn about that had ever existed and learn more about who the people that might have prayed to it and what it represented. And we'll have to find out who that is, but.
And also, I mean, it would be a shiny new engine when we find it, right? It's not an ancient thing. If we found it in our time stream, it would be ancient, probably ruined. But if we go back in time and then acquire it, and I think maybe it has been lost during some epic battle, and so we can go there and rescue it, kind of.
That's cool. And it could have something to do with the commander and his tr famous loss of control or over his engine.
Oh, we could rescue his, or we could, instead of going for something really ancient, we could just go and rescue his engine.
Yeah, that's
Oh,
relevant.
I like that. Maybe he lost it in a time bubble.
Or if it's 30 years ago, then ancient times to your young adults, you know.
Right. We're basically super kids, right?
Maybe he was the previous like Rainbow Bridge, like he was doing what I was doing before I did it or something like that. So
Oh,
it could be a ancient place or time.
and he lost this engine in the time stream. Dude,
in
true.
Sumeria or something. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I like that.
Yeah, this is cool. I like this idea a lot.
Any ideas or names for who this god was?
Can I have a second to think about it?
Absolutely.
Oh, Orcus.
Orcus.
Orcus is a god of war, slaughter, I think. Or no, it's underworld. It's the underworld. Orcus is the underworld, but it's a violent underworld.
Underworld themes are cool.
Yeah. Orcus is more like a Hades is, I think, the boss one, or Neptune. Oh, this is the Roman god. I get confused with Roman and Greek god, Greek god, but Orcus is not a. It's more of a violent god, as I said.
Well, what sort of domain would be like what we're most needing in order to like get
Oh,
us to our new
that's
home?
oh
Like
oh. I just opened up the Wikipedia page and okay, God of the Underworld, Punisher of Broken Oaths. That sounds good, right?
that's
be
interesting. We
good.
might
I mean,
also go
if
for.
people, sorry, I was going to say, if people are like betraying you or worshipping false gods, well, not false gods, but gods and leviathans and such, then maybe that's the kind of engine you really need, right?
A very fascist move, but that
Well.
tracks.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like, you know, what some of our troubles have been in the
We
course of
lost our direction.
yeah, in the course of our voyage. So like, yeah, a god that knows the secret ways, or like
Yeah.
who guards the secret ways, like, yeah, which, you know, like not to reproduce our original sin here or anything, but
Oh, that's true. I like that. I mean,
It's
we could
gonna
go
work
with
differently this time though, right? That's what everyone says.
we
We've
could
already
go with
prepped that.
Janus,
Yeah.
god of doors, double-faced god of doors, Janus.
Janice is pretty
That
good.
sounds really good.
Right.
Done.
And if that was Kranz or ship, the double-faced thing gets a whole new meaning. Or does it? We don't even know if he's a traitor. Maybe he's a really nice guy. I doubt it.
The God of Beginnings.
Sorry, just because I'm a nerd about this kind of stuff. The name of the god Janus, meaning in Latin arched passage or doorway, stems from Proto-Italic Janu or door. It is cognate with Sanskrit yati, to go or to travel. Which seems pretty appropriate, I think, for us.
Sold, right? So, yeah, that's the mission. You have your coordinates where you can go to get through this time bubble. And I guess you're going back to when, like before it was destroyed, right? That's ideally, but at the very least, before the ravages of age will have made it all but unusable. Let's establish some questions here. Ian, what do you notice about Commander Kren, that's unusual for him during this
Yeah.
briefing?
I think that Redshift is like standing, leaning against the wall, like arms folded some distance away from the briefing table, and is noticing that Commander Kren, who is usually a very imperious and sort of like dominant figure, you know, has a very like like forward or aggressive stance takes up a lot of room in any, in any space that he's in. I think for the first time that I've seen him, he is showing signs of being nervous or even afraid. I don't know if he was the one who initiated this mission, or whether it came from even higher up than him. If I had to guess, I would say that he is afraid to see Janice again. Either because, it'll be hard to see the state that Janice has fallen into, or because the two of them had some kind of falling out, or, you'd think that if you were going to recover your long, your engine long lost to the ravages of time, you'd be ecstatic. But he looks like he's going to the gallows.
I'm pretty sure he didn't want me to come. But somebody called it, so here I am.
Matt, what about Rafi? What do you see of him that maybe isn't quite what you usually see before a mission? Is he eager to do this? Is there plots boiling in his brain? How is he acting?
Well, I see in our notes that he lost his grip on things during season one. And I think we see him taking notes, paying close attention. And every once in a while, something will be said during the briefing. Maybe about the time that we're headed to or the details of the history here, and you see him like sit up at that information. Like it's very subtle, but there are things being said that are very significant to him.
Sabine, I want to get your take on Serena. I think Serena is here also because this is obviously a very important mission. I think, as usual, she is studiously avoiding making eye contact with Iris. But do you think that's happening as usual, or is she afraid in some way of what might happen on this mission?
I think mainly she's angry. Maybe she's angry at Iris for putting herself out there. Maybe she's angry at the situation for putting Iris out there. Maybe she's angry at herself for not connecting with Iris before this happens. Or maybe she's angry with somebody else for destroying the spear or the general situation. There is this. And she's a professional. If you don't know her, you wouldn't even see this. But I think Iris might, in the small tics that she has when she clenches her fists. But there's something like this. And I think you might see her looking at Kren with very well disguised disgust. Yeah, it's there for people who know her or people who are very sensitive to some such things. But I think Shamash thinks they were above us once, but that's Shamash.
So, yeah, does anyone try to grab a word, private or otherwise, with someone before you go out to the hangar?
I might speak with Kren. Excuse me, Commander. A word, please. Please. I'm hungover, kind of clammy, and not in my usual state pre-mission. I've been to many times, many places, and I suspect, I'm beginning to suspect that you have as well. I've been putting things together lately. And I think I'm not the only one reaching out to forgotten gods. I think there's someone here on the station. I think it might be a lot of people. And I think they're attracting the Leviathan's attention. I don't know what you know about this, but I think you know more than you wish you did. And I might be overstepping. But I know this mission is of personal importance to you. And I beg you, whatever way you can, help our chances. And I look to my friends, almost knowing that like Commander Cran was a troubled captain at in another time, and I might not be able to be the one who can save Jet and Cordelia all alone, and they might not want me to be. So I'm asking for the help of someone else, of an authority figure.
I think what Crane has to say is, you know who I suspect, Captain? I suspect your convict friend and his ilk. He doesn't believe in the gods. He doesn't believe in our mission. Fact, if anything untoward happens, I shall ensure that he bears the responsibility for this mission, and not you.
I think all she says is, it doesn't matter what Jet believes if the gods believe in him. And I think I turn, walk back to my crew, knowing that it's just us and Kren needs more before he'll work with us. Nasty man.
I mean, he bears a grudge. You'll give him that. Sabine, how about Jet? Do you wanna kind of have some?
I just like I just I think I'm trying a little to see what where Rafi's head is at, because I have a feeling that I have an I know more about Iris now than I think I did before. She still looks hungover. And, well, Cordelia is Cordelia, or Redshift is Redshift. And I'm still trying to get this together in my mind. So So I will ask him if he's ever been doing this time travel thing before.
I think that question startles him. Maybe it's the caffeine, but he wasn't expecting it. And I think he lies to you. He says, "No, I've never been through time."
Okay. Only the usual way, I guess.
Yeah, moving forward at 1 second per second, huh? Well, I guess we're all a member of the Horizon Club now, huh?
Yeah, great. That's what I always wanted to be. Pizza, clean the floors, I guess.
Don't
But
adjust.
do you know what happened with Kren and his machine? Because nobody talks to me, but they talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, they say he lost his nerve.
Maybe he was just too mean to the machine and didn't want him in the cockpit anymore. I'm just conjecture. Maybe he was a nice guy before he lost this machine. I doubt it, but how do you lose your nerve in a machine? And you're in, oh, you could fall, call out of transcendence, and then that might, okay.
That's just what I heard. People, who really knows? Who gets access to those old files? Probably only Iris, but I don't trust them.
Friend.
Crap.
No, who would? But I don't know. It's just weird, right? I mean, you have this connection with this thing, engine, and then that's gone. Just got to change the one.
Yeah, and when it comes, I mean, when we bring it back, he's not going to be able to pilot it. Someone else is going to be piloting it.
Oh.
I mean, that's going to suck.
You know what? I give him a slight punch in the shoulder. You just motivated me to finish this mission.
Ian, have a Cordelia slash Redshift. You're muted.
I think that Cordelia, well, Redshift now. She's not Cordelia in Redshift's costume. They are Redshift now. I'm gonna put sort of a somewhat good picture of what I think they look like in the chat. This is the main character from oh, never mind. I can't post JPEGs. Never mind.
You can put it in the keeper. There's a space for it in the keeper.
Yeah, I'll put it in the keeper right now. This is a photo of the main character from the video game Solar Ash. In her sort of like final form. She has this sort of like trail, like vapor trail, glowing vapor trail coming from her face and head, which is sort of the vibe that I'm trying to go for, although the color I think is different. I think that she is approaching Serena. And she's saying, Holy sister, I believe this is the first time that we've met.
Central
Iris, highly of you. Captain
seems.
Iris speaks highly of you.
The captain is very wise.
That's a funny way to respond to a compliment. I think that Redshift says, what's the what would she say here? What should I expect on the other side?
You should expect that your faith will bring you through. If that is what the gods will.
Very well.
My prayers are with you.
I am glad to have them. Let's hope that they're not necessary.
So, I think we should build our engagement pool,
roll them, and then take a break. So let's go through this. There is always hope. The protagonists start with one die for every mission. Yay. Is the mission particularly heroic or noble?
Heroic. Yeah.
Well, if you do time travel, that's fairly.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Okay. Is the mission following on through details from the protagonist's investigation? I think so, right?
I was doing some investigation last session and I learned a little bit about Commander Kren's involvement and a little bit about the Forgotten Gods worshippers.
Yeah. That is my recollection. Does the mission determine the fate of a friend?
I don't know if you could call Kren a friend.
Enemy?
Well, probably the reverse not. Of the question is, are troubles from the protagonist's mundane lives getting in the way of this mission?
Probably.
Probably.
But on the other hand, Kren did say if it doesn't go well, he'll blame Jet.
That's true. That's a good point.
So
maybe those two cancel each other out.
Maybe they do. Okay. And the mission tier exceeds the current tier of the investigation track by one. So this is a tier two mission, and you've got tier one in your preparations. So that is minus one. So that's two dice. So who wants to see how this one goes?
Ian's counted the dice, so I think
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
with great mathematical ability comes great responsibility.
another one of the arts and sciences that has been lost to our civilization.
They stopped airing Sesame Street. It all fell apart.
We're just
it is a dark feature.
Same reruns over and over again. Here we go. Engage with the distant past. Two dice. That's two,
uh-oh.
Three.
Oh, no.
It's up to a six.
It adds up to a six. That is true. But that is a bad result. Okay. A desperate position. Okay. So more trouble on the way. Let's take a break. We are back. And things are not going pretty. Matt, given that Horizon has been through this before, do you want to describe some kind of details about like where the time, what the time portal, you know, feels like, looks like, for the others, for all of us, in fact?
Yes. We've talked about a ziggurat, so I think maybe we'd be near the top level. There's some sort of array of the various shrines and temples throughout the city that are placed in a way that provides power to the portal that we are able to move through. I think a lot of the equipment is patched together from various other arrays that we had had in our original home. So there's a lot of tech here from like different eras of our city and with different iconography. I think some of the portals might have been constructed to be able to specifically go to the time of a particular god and maybe a place or a domain represented by that god. So you've got suns, you've got chariots, you've got skulls. There's like all sorts of symbolism all over this array, and it's some sort of like big like circular rotating like sundial sort of setup. And the alignment of these different symbols will send us roughly to different times and places, but I don't think it's an exact science and requires the traveler to cooperate with the machine. And so I imagine it'll be a little unpredictable with the three of us, and based on our engagement role.
And like, is there a
Sensation, like particularly, I don't know, discombobulating, or is it just like snap your fingers and that's when you are?
it's extremely discombobulating. And I think Iris has adapted, but it has cost her some level of like stability in her own mind and selfhood. And so for first timers all traveling through together with a lot of maybe with a bit of drama between the group and Rafi, maybe with different intentions, I think this might go very badly. I think Iris thinks about like stepping up and like saying something to the crew and trying to unite everybody. But with the staff lost and like, I think some of her intent and like sure-heartedness having dissipated, and like her falling into sort of like Jet's lifestyle and just like letting go of her responsibilities, I don't think she feels in a place to do that. And maybe she's worried about stepping on Cordelia's toes. I think last time she tried to save Redshift when Redshift didn't really want to be saved. And I think she's just resolved to let things fall as they will.
Cordelia, what do you see?
Like when you pass through this time horizon, can I call it a time horizon without being cheesy?
Catch Redshift, thank you very much. Actually, you know what? Let me
Okay. Oh, sorry, it's you. It's you, Redshift. Of course. How did I make that mistake? What does Redshift see of the future that, sickens her?
I think that there's like a moment where we're kind of like on the outside of the current, or on the outside of the kind of corridor of time. And we can see all of the other different branching pathways. Like there are so many of them that I don't think that we'd be able to like identify them, to pick one out of, to pick the needle out of the haystack, so to speak. Like that's part of where the expertise of Horizon and the other kind of like, I guess Kren probably had this expertise at one point too. But I think what Cordelia, what Redshift sees is that so many of these branches just like fizzle or come to a kind of withered or otherwise like desiccated end. Like they don't go on, you know. And it's hard for her to like look at those and think and think anything other than you know, how many of these were an own goal, so to speak? How many of these were an unforced error that came about from not letting the people who could do something in those timelines act, you know? How many redshifts have there been who, you know, am I the only one to have gotten to this point? Is what she's thinking.
Jet, I wonder at your end of this spectrum,
What do you see? What revelation of your past do you see that makes you doubt everything you've done before?
oh wow, revelation of my past that makes me doubt everything I've done before. I think when you follow these futures that are branching out, you can also see the past, right? Because that's just one strand, because we just went through this one past. The past is kind of fixed, maybe, or at least the Jet's eyes it is. And what Jet sees there is that there's the cigarette, right? And there are these immense presences that you can feel that hang around and that they're keeping this together, protecting it. So maybe there are gods. Maybe there's more to this god thing than Jet originally thought that might there was. So, oh, okay. Maybe not worshiping the gods is not the solution that he thought it would be. He's not totally doubting everything he believes, but the god thing might have been wrong about that.
Is there a particular presence there that
you recognize?
Presence there that I recognize. Yeah, let's make it. Who was the god with the spear? It was some sort of protector, fighter,
Yeah,
goddess.
I don't recall that
he
I don't.
named them.
So let's not name them, but I think that's there's this connection there. Because the spear broke in Jet's hand, or Shamash's hand, but Jet's wielding it. So there's this weird feeling of connection. It's not clear if this presence is angry or is like, okay, yeah, fine, you've done this, now do more, stuff like that. There's a
Yeah.
certain claim, right?
Maybe it's like you're the only one that has actually taken up my spear, instead of, you know, just gazing at it and thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all
As
as
players might recognize that a goddess with a spear might want it to be used, but I think in this moment of self-doubt or desperate engagement, you just see the judgment, right?
yeah, I just I think it's I don't know his judgment. It's just this intense scrutiny, right? And Jed is not as half as self-assured as he claims to be, or
Yeah,
as he
yeah.
appears to be. So it's like, oh, damn, sorry about your spear. Really good spear.
So let me think. I've had time to think about this engagement role now for 25 minutes, but so I think what happens is that you blink, you know, you blink back into existence on the very spot that you know you were at, at the very top of a ziggurat. Except this ziggurat is not yours. At least you don't think it's yours because it's sitting in this lush, verdant countryside. At the bottom of this ziggurat, there are not torch engines, not the sea of stars, but Earth. And at the bottom of this ziggurat, you can see this rolling mass of like miniature leviathans swamping the base of this ziggurat like it's the sea, coming further and further up like it's a tide on steroids. And half submerged and running 3 steps at a time up this ziggurat is the engine of Janus. Redshift, what do you do?
Yourself.
I figure having to you needing to ask me to unmute myself is probably less rude than like chewing into the microphone, So, yeah, I think that Tezcatlipoca, the jaguar mech, quite at home on a ziggurat, all things being said, also has developed this sort of red, in this case it's not a scarf, it's more like a mane. And I think that the machine roars and the mane glows brightly. And Redshift says, I'll do what I can to slow them down. Make sure you get the engine and return to the ship. And the Scalipoca will like leap forward and try to scatter some of the Leviathans, moving sort of with speed and slicing through like three or four of them at a time, depending on how well I roll.
And Iris's heart leaps out of her chest, watching you do the most dangerous opening move you possibly could, almost in defiance of
Yes.
her.
So you're transcendent, so you're not
I'm
immediately.
at disadvantage, though you are in a desperate position. Does this seem like flow, or is this like defiance?
I guess I'm not really trying to like kill them. I'm mostly just trying to sort of like startle them, almost more of like a sort of like sheepdog type of situation, to keep them at bay. So if you would allow for flow, then I would
Yeah, I think it fits.
Leaping here and there, there's got to be like the ziggurat's got to have some like spires or like other different kind of large statuary or something. So like leaping from one to the other, dashing through this tide of Leviathans.
Yeah. And that snow, dashing is often through the snow, but
Not this time.
she wants some assistance.
I would love some assistance. Can I be assisted and also push at the same time?
Yeah, so you just can't push and take a poison promise, but you can definitely be assisted when you do either of those things.
Can
Great.
take two. You can take two dice from my assistance.
Right. I think I'm
Which
also
puts
going.
me dangerously close to Eclipse, but ha, it's fine. It's gonna be fine.
Thank you for the assistance. How are you assisting me?
I'm telling Captain permission to shoot some of these buggers, yes, buggers to hell so they won't kill Redshift. And I will transcend at that moment. And I will not wait for you to say yes or no, because why would I? I've asked permission. This is a step forward, right? And also I'm pretty sure you don't want Redshift to be destroyed. So I'll just let loose with my cannons, and since we are now planet bound, I can maybe even they're blind, I know, but still they will feel the heat and radiation that I can bring to them from the fact that I'm so super bright. But I'm only insisting, so
So before anyone rolls, I just want to call attention to something we missed the last time. Your series ability is sync ratio. When you receive an assist and your action succeeds, clear one stress. When you use a link to help an ally, they gain plus two instead of plus one. Now, I don't think anyone has a link with each other, but for stress, it might be helpful.
totally.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can tell me how this sort of resolves in the order of events here. I'm also going to push to get to use my transcendent ability. Watch this. It says, when I push myself, I can choose to either perform a superhuman feat of athletics or deliver a monologue without anyone interrupting you. And I guess I kind of want to blend those here to just become a very obvious threat to the Leviathan horde here. I'm gonna mark two stress here,
So you mark two stress.
and if it works, do I get to clear one of those?
Yes, yeah.
That's what I would. That was my
Because I think
question.
that's the order of operations. So you start with one die in flow, you get one extra die for pushing, and then you get two dice because of Jet's or Apogee's aid. So that's four dice.
Yeah. It's what you would hope for on a desperate.
Yeah, desperate.
Do you mark an XP every time you roll with
You mark an
desperate?
XP every time you roll a desperate
Nice.
action. And that's why we love one to threes on engagement rolls, because everything is desperate.
All
The other thing you do, Ian, is you mark one of your transcendent boxes, because you get, remember, a max of four transcendent actions.
Seems like the time to use them. If I had to pick one. Okay, so this is four six-sided dice for charging the horde of Leviathans. Here I go. That's three twos and one six.
Oh, Mark, we only have eyes for that six, right? So
Thank
nice.
you. Thank you for the assist, Jet.
So, as we saw last mission, no, even if you're at desperation, if you keep rolling sixes, nothing can touch you. What does this look like?
Yeah, just like scattering them. I imagine that, like, the way you describe them, these are not as like fully grown as the one that we encountered before. So it's just like every swipe of the claws, there's a burst of red energy, and more go flying back. Again, they're not like particularly badly hurt, but they're just sort of like being swept from the steps of the temple here. And maybe there's like a particularly large or armored one that resists these urges, and right as it's about to swipe back, it's hit by a volley of rockets or bright sunbeam lasers or something. Yeah, they're discombobulated.
They are very discombobulated. Dismembered,
I think, is probably more like it. But, and that, I mean, you wanted to get their attention, and you definitely have their attention. And I think Janus is kind of surges free of this tide as it, surges around you instead.
Please tell me that the Giannis has like a reversible head, like the mayor from Nightmare Before Christmas, where it can just like rotate 180 degrees and there's just like another face back there.
I mean, I think what you'll see is maybe when it turns to face the enemy, like everything kind of just it doesn't turn like a normal engine would turn, just everything kind of rotates 180, in sequence. And it's, kind of, very Transformer-ish, very nifty. Matt, what about Iris? Both of your subordinates have leapt into action. What are you doing?
I think when Jet asks for permission and then dashes off to back up Redshift, I think there's like a almost like a puff of smoke in Jet's wake, and then you just hear Iris would say a very emotional like permission granted, like with no one around, like tired of giving orders, but like just it's more of a prayer and a hope than an order.
I think we're on comms. I hear that, right?
Yeah, it's barely audible over the sounds of the hordes.
I mean, you will hear probably some kind of whoop or something.
I think having dug into this mystery for days and done all the investigation, now that I'm here at this time, I'm helpless to resist looking for clues and information and traces of the commander and maybe hints of the gods that sent the Leviathans here. This is the time of our flight and our last fight for our home at the time. So I guess I'm doing the eyes in the skies thing.
Okay. Trying to figure out, exactly what was going on here, or like
What the story is, right?
Yeah. I see and analyze. You could analyze a piece of music to understand its beauty, but perceive might be better. I think it's between the two, but I love the analogy of analyzing a piece of music. It's like this is like a symphony unfolding, and all the parts are being played, and I'm like looking for the patterns within it and listening to the individual parts. And I think trying to look for where the big threat is, because it seems like these creatures are well handled right now.
Can I give you a poison promise?
I'd love that.
Because I would like to tick a box on Rafi's Leviathan clock.
I would love that.
Okay.
I'm interested in pushing towards Eclipse.
So,
No, I'll hang on to it for now.
okay.
Yep.
So we have plenty of time for stress, right?
Oh yes. Here goes. Am I desperate? I guess by the nature of the
Because I don't.
Maybe this tidal flow of Leviathans is like chewing up information and clues as it goes. I mean, who knows what's behind you, right? Or,
Yeah.
yeah.
Or whose clock is ticking? Here
Yeah.
goes. That's a four.
Okay, wow. That's what I get for saying, keep rolling sixes, right? You do it, but there's a
A
consequence,
desperate consequence.
a desperate consequence. So, yeah, I think. Like you're standing at the apex of this ziggurat, like looking down at these people, and like you see Yanis, and you now realize that he is not really trying to escape the Leviathans. He's trying to get to just behind where you are. And you see this arm, a Leviathan arm, come out of the very center of the top of the ziggurat. And you see in Yanis's hand the spear. That same spear that was destroyed on your ziggurat just a short while ago. And I think your insight is that maybe this Leviathan that's coming from inside has got to be destroyed, or else, like, your entire civilization is doomed. This is like the apex Leviathan for all the pathways that wither and die in your future. But I guess from your immediate point of view, this is the arm that's about to grab you and is slow, starting to crush, starting to crush you. Well, maybe not you yet, but certainly your engine. So yeah, I think what this arm comes around Luna's leg and starts to squeeze, and I'm gonna inflict a damage on Luna, and I'm gonna inflict damage on you, and we'll call this, like, I don't know, like a feedback loop or something like this. Something about the way this Leviathan is damaging Luna is also like affecting you. Like maybe you know, when feeling comes back to your left leg, you'll have pins and needles, right?
So there's is it a point of strength to Luna and harm to me? Are those the
Yes,
consequences?
it's a point of strength on Luna and damage to you as well.
What level of harm is it for me?
It is just level one.
Level one. Okay. I'm going to resist this point of strength to Luna. And I think,
We do have heavy gear, just saying. That's
ooh.
on our team sheet. It's a transcendent team ability. So, saying
Okay,
might
so
be useful.
that's, yes, definitely. For Luna, I think that in all my studying, there was mention of this great creature in the ancient texts or creatures like it and their abilities. Like, I think it scaled the distance much quicker than it should have. And I think that Luna, I've equipped it with some like reactive shields. And so I think there's a light screen that and like emits from the like lunar crystal in the center of Luna's chest, and the Luna is serene and haunted, so I think we are sort of like hovering in space, putting things together, and there's no movement. I think there's just this like graceful extension of Luna's body as like just the arm comes out and a screen comes up, and I'm not sure how I'm taking harm and Luna isn't, but it could drain me of energy.
Let's see the resistance then, and depending on maybe
Yes, yes,
how good
yes.
it is, we can maybe reflavor the damage.
Yes.
Is this a consequence of violence or fear, despair or heartbreak or panic or social pressure? Like, well, how do you think Horizon is dealing with this?
Panic is interesting. So I think it's an analyze role when I learned like the nature of this creature, although I kind of just want one die. Compassion and resolve, violence or fear. Yeah, like it's both violence and fear. I think I'm
Okay.
resisting the fear of the nature of this thing and the violence it's doing to me. So I'm gonna roll one die. That's a four, so I'm gonna take two stress.
And you've already described how that works. So I think maybe is this damage something like this real like this powerful feeling of dread in the pit of your stomach or something like that, that like everything you read about is useful only because these things are coming true, right?
Yeah, it's that feeling when a prophecy is coming to a head, when factors are pointing to something. All right.
And obviously that just means you're not being grabbed. Luna has not been grabbed by this Leviathan, and you're kind of, not quite free and clear, but you're out of its immediate grasp. And Giannis is still like hurtling up the ziggurat, spear glinting. Let's go back. Let's go to Apogee. You've been taking a firing position to help out with Redshift,
Yes.
and she is, I won't quite say overwhelmed, but those things are surrounding her now and maybe on the verge of creeping up, surging up to Scatlapaka.
No, I don't think I like that. So, what do you do if you have a big, strong, brightly glittering mech in the sunlight? You put on some music that has something to do with maybe a red shift and maybe something like Lady in Red by Christa Berg. It's super hammy, but come on. Jed has no great taste on music when it's not punk. Anyway, so yeah, with all that said, am I embodying this virtue of my machine here?
Yeah, I think if you embody your virtue, you get a bonus die, right? And the bright, yeah.
So I am jumping into the fray, glittering and not glittering precisely, but shining like a knight in shining armor, rescuing, not a damsel in distress, clearly, but a friend. And
I mean, I'm sure some of the brightness is the array of close range lasers, right?
I think maybe I have a sword or something like
Okay, yeah.
That sword is pretty good in this kind of situation where you have a lot of enemies close by. I wish I had a spear. No, I don't wish I had a spear. I have a sword. Damn it. And I'm just kind of laying into them, trying to get them away from Redshift and myself. And I'm transcending, obviously.
Let's. I mean, this sounds like defiance to me, right? I'm not. I don't think I'm pushing that. So defiance, two dice, one for aligning with your engine.
And I think I'll spend a link with
Great.
Shamash
Okay.
for 4 dice. That should be enough.
Okay.
Maybe not,
Well, we'll see. Still desperate, so you still get that XP.
Okay, let's see how that goes. It's a five. Could be worse.
Could be worse.
You do it, but there is a consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're wading into these things, and the sword is slicing through them, both as a collective group and an individual level. And they are, it's kind of strange, right? You're definitely holding them back, holding them away from Redshift. But again, like when the sword slices through them, you might be destroying four or five, but another four or five are now like on your arm, right, as it sweeps through the wave. And I think the acid we had so much fun with last
Oh yeah,
time,
I like the acid.
is now melting through your engine's arm. So I think what makes the most sense here? Yeah, let's. No, so I think the acid is eating into them, but then they are like starting to crawl inside Shamash and
Oh no.
making their way up towards the cockpit.
Oh, I don't like this. Can now the transcendent ability has been used by Redshift? Can I also use it?
Yeah, so that's like your group's transcendent ability, right? So,
Because I would, oh, it negates harm. Oh,
okay, yeah,
so.
but I'm not describing this as harm. I'm describing this as a terrible consequence,
That's fine.
which you could still resist. I mean,
I will try that. I do not wish to have this consequence. This I do not like. And I think I'm resisting a consequence of violence because this is not despair or heartbreak or panic or social pressure. This is basically some of these thingies getting inside my engine and trying to eat me.
Oh
That is
no. Yeah.
or possess me or whatever. I don't know. Go away thingies. I'm
So yeah, roll two dice.
okay. Yeah, that's a six.
Oh, so
Ding, ding,
no
ding.
stress.
Damn,
Amazing.
I thought I could go into eclipse. No, it's fine. I'm good with not being eaten.
Okay.
And I think what I do to resist this, I will turn on some internal stuff that I got and might electrocute them. It might electrocute me myself a little too, but you know what? There's a fun side to being a prisoner. You get used to electroshocks. So.
So what does this look like? Do we just hear a sizzle and see smoke come from this breach, and then that's
No,
it?
I think we see the whole engine just brightly spark for a moment, like these electric sparks that you get when you touch something weird, like a cat that has been rubbed far too hard, and then some of the thingies come running out, screeching, and and Shamash is shaking itself like, ugh.
Awesome. Redshift, we won't say saved, but
your teammate has interceded on your behalf.
I just want to clarify, has Rafi come to this mission as well?
Yes, he
Without hearing
is
anything?
up on top of the ziggurat, more or less, with the captain. Probably,
As a reserve, just to, because also, Durga doesn't like to like run down and up ziggurats if she can avoid it. So yeah, probably just slowly walking towards the oncoming tidal wave of leviathans and getting ready to kick some ass.
And what I learned in my analyze is that if the great Leviathan is not destroyed, then our civilization will be.
So
Okay.
whether you want to like turn Rafi and Durga on this thing with yourself and go for that, that's yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I want to say this before I do anything in particular, which is that I think I'm gonna like open the channel to Rafi, and I'm going to say, what's Rafi's call sign?
Aphelion. We did.
Yeah, we decided
That, but I forgot to write it.
I'm gonna say in Redshift's cool but now somewhat sort of strained and exerted voice, Pilot Aphelion, assist the captain. Like looking ba basically like looking on my scopes, seeing that Iris is in danger. Even if some harm has been resisted or diverted or something, like you're still the object of attention for this like giant scary Leviathan arm.
Yeah, so I think he will, turn around and then it's like, oh, who spotted that? Not me. And we'll begin to kind of rush back up towards the Leviathan.
So the great one is emerging from the ziggurat, basically. Okay. And it's sort of in pursuit of Giannis? Or more
No,
it more.
Giannis is going for it.
I see.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
Okay. Oh, up the ziggurat towards the
Up,
top where the Leviathan is? Okay.
yeah. I guess the sudden realization you had was that Giannis is not really trying to get away from the surge of smaller Leviathans, but trying to get to the big one.
Gotcha.
The height of foolishness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what to do next. It feels to me like if Redshift like breaks off her efforts here, their efforts here, that this tide of creatures will just sort of like, flow forward unchecked.
I'm still here.
Yeah, sure, but like if I leave to go help Iret, like I'm leaving you behind to get swarmed. I'm just looking at my character here, looking at like stuff that I can do.
I could do a setup action or a help. At some point, I would like to. I don't have to do it now.
Well, I guess here's my question is like now that Giannis is we know that Giannis is not trying to escape to the portal. What is our objective here? Is it to slay the great Leviathan? Is that how our priorities have changed?
I think you hear Horizon come in over the comms, having just like deflected the strike from this great Leviathan. And she says, "The old queen is here. She must die." Giannis is set on her destruction, and so we must support. I'm tired of giving orders. Full independence. I trust you. I would like for that to be a confess.
I mean, that sounds like a setup action, right?
That's
To
what
me.
I would, that's what I was hoping for. I think this is like Iris sort of apologizing to Cordelia or and taking a step back from her like her role as authority. I think she doesn't like the feeling of commanding someone who was important to her before she was ever a captain. Now that she knows it's Cordelia, the feeling of telling her old friend what to do, who knows her deeper than anyone else, feels bad to her. But she's not saying it outright to her, and I don't think this is next necessarily going to, resolve anything. But she is in her proclamation to the group, sort of talking to Cordelia and saying, "I trust you." And you hear that in that, like, "I love you," but she doesn't say it. So I think it's a first step in confess.
I think all the ship says on the open comm channel is "I captain."
Yeah, nice, perfect.
And then sort of like in a sort of like tight band. Well, no, you've got to do this role first, right? So.
Yeah, I'm gonna push and I'm gonna confess. Don't know, is it still desperate?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, here goes. It's four.
I'll maybe give you a first right of refusal, Ian, on taking this up the wrong way, or maybe being hurt by it, or something like this as a complication.
I think that she's absolutely hurt by it. Like, the heart of Cordelia in here is like, oh, you think you can just undo it like that? You think you think it is that like that simple to break this new, these sort of institutional strictures here.
And I didn't even say anything. Like, I didn't say anything to you. It was more for me to release control than it was for me to actually say what I needed to say to you.
I
And that
agree.
puts me to eclipse.
Oh, yes.
Or maybe it's one away. Do I need to tick the red box or am I full?
Yeah, the red box is a box, so.
When you click
Okay.
that, you're full.
Okay, I'm one away.
Okay.
Now in the sort of private, just in a sort of like single closed channel to Apogee. Now it's like just Cordelia's voice, and she says, can I trust you with this, Jet? Are you going to be
Sure.
okay?
Yeah, I'm gonna be. You saw, I just throw them out. Don't worry about me. Get this big thing. I'll hold them off.
Okay. I'll come back to get you.
Ah, don't worry. I'll come. Maybe, yeah. Don't worry about me. It's fine. It's all fine.
Okay. I'd like to ask whether I can use this ability in this way, Donna, which is to
Yep.
say, I took the ability Phantom, which says I may expend my special armor to resist any consequence that would cause me to be detected or overlooked, or to immediately seize the attention of everyone present. I want to do the second thing there. I want to do the opposite of that. I would like to vanish from where I am right now. Is that something that I can do?
I guess that's you can
Be like undetectable, right? So what I would say is just say what you're doing, and when someone notices you, you trigger the move, right?
Well, I think what's going to happen here is, like, as you know, when Redshift says I'll come back for you, that she is like allowing they are allowing the Tezcatlipoca to like be overwhelmed by the creatures, and we're going to get a classic like dog pile of creatures, but the target has like already slipped out and is going over there, you know. Or maybe there's like a you know, an entrance to the interior of the ziggurat there that the Tezcatlipoca, being sort of clever, escape
I mean,
into.
this entrance has always been here, right? This kind of trap door or whatever. Okay, so how about you just mark your armor and we'll have you disappear into the Leviathan and like the Oh, sorry, into the ziggurat, and the Leviathans just kind of collapse in confusion after we realize that you couldn't possibly be there anymore.
I have done that. And he's gone.
Let's take our break. Okay, so we have Apogee holding the tide back. We have Redshift disappearing into a secret tunnel. We have Horizon turning to face the old queen. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, let's see the old queen reach out again. Horizon, what's your plan here?
Thanks. Can you situate me a little bit? So me, Raffi, and I are positioned near the top of the ziggurat, floating in space.
I think you're slightly closer to the top, and then maybe, halfway up or maybe a little further is Giannis.
Yes.
And can you situate me as well?
So you're further down, maybe
I'm
not
further down.
quite towards the base, but close enough.
Okay.
And has got the markers. Who knows?
And I'm somewhere out of sight.
I would like to prompt Raffi to engage in some kind of like pincer maneuver, like some sort of duet move that we've practiced before, to sort of like onboard him on into our team chemistry a little bit. I'm trying to reach out and like maybe connect with him and bridge the gap so that he's not such a a mystery.
Is this Express?
It could be. I would like when I was imagining flow as in like we're both slipping. I'm trying to slip him into like something that is muscle memory, something that is natural, something we've drilled time and time again in the simulations. But that feels a little less personal than.
Yeah, I mean, flow, I think, is when you do something. So unless it's like a flashback to you practicing this, yeah, that would be like one stress, get you into eclipse.
One stress, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So what does this maneuver look like when you practice this, on the probably in this exact spot on the ziggurat in space last week or whatever?
I think that Durga is a very dangerous, powerful, warlike mech, and Luna, serene yet haunted, powerful and weary. So I think that Luna is using a lot of visual stimulus to overwhelm the target, and to it's like a waxing and waning moon technique, sort of, to make lots of crescent shaped loops around the target to disorient it and to maybe hypnotize it. And then Durga's maneuver is like powerful, cleaving, like just a ruthless strike. And I think this is classic, like evasive horizon maneuvers. But I think the stress and the eclipse here come from Redshift's response of "I, Captain." I think that feels like part of the thing that pushes me into this like embracing an inevitable fate. Like, well, fine, if that's what I am, then that's what I'll be. And I think maybe I like command Raffi a little bit. Maybe it's a little harsher, but it's what needs to be done. So let's make a roll.
So it's flow for one die. What do you think? Are you pushing, or do you
Want to take a poison promise? Do you want to by the end of this action see Rafi's connection, like real connection with this Leviathan?
Yeah, I do. And I at least want to have the clock finished. And maybe that's like Raffi sees me being self-destructive and making myself vulnerable. You characterize that how you like, but I would love a poison promise.
Take it.
Two dice. Here goes. The
Success.
six. I mean, this is what I do.
So mark your
Eclipse. What don't you describe how we see this working? I think you're still a little bit like, I think this will not, you're still like outclassed, but I think maybe this is like you are successful fighting off this arm, this single arm of this Queen Leviathan, right? Why don't you like tell us what that looks like, and then maybe when the scale of what you're facing, like to read out your eclipse description.
What was the last thing you said? The scale of.
Yeah, so when I guess
When you are successful in your action and you realize the scale of this Leviathan, maybe that's when we read out what your eclipse description is.
yeah, sure. So I'm definitely starting headstrong here. I'm using up a lot of like the power reserves of Luna. I think while the Leviathans are blind, I think what I'm doing is like Leviathan has or Luna has blink technology, I think, tied into like the warping teleportal quality of my specialty. And so what I think I'm doing is like confusing the senses of this creature by like appearing and reappearing all around its arm so that it can't use its senses to come at me. And I think we just see like Horizon fully engaged and like losing herself to her fate as the captain and as the one who has been assigned to carry all this burden and this knowledge. And so it's like, well, this is what has to be done. That thing has to die. My teammates can play around with the little ones, but this is what I have to do. And if I have to command Raffi to help, then I'll do it. So Raffi, I'm not sure exactly what Durga looks like, but I'm just imagining like a massive, it's like axe of some kind, or blade, or like cleaver, or something, or maybe it's
There's a picture in the NPC's tab.
thank you. Oh yeah.
Yeah, maybe what it has is like it has these great, like kind of gorilla forearms. And maybe there's like a blade along this. Maybe it's, I don't know, is it like a chainsaw? Like something really dialed
Yes.
to 11.
Yes. Absolutely. And the arm is like n nearly severed, and before we see several more rising to Giannis and to go and disarm, maybe.
So yeah, I think it's now that it's in serious trouble,
Like the Leviathan is kind of now breaking its shoulder through the top of the ziggurat, like blasting off this top layer, and then you can kind of see inside, right? You can see the depth of this thing, and it's like, oh. Why don't you read out your eclipse, and then we'll switch to Redshift.
You've known all along that changing fate was impossible, yet here you are. So much wasted effort, wasted time. If this fate was inevitable, why not embrace it? You set aside caution for instinct and pursue a direct course of action heedless of consequence.
Sorry, before I mean, you don't automatically go into Eclipse, you make a roll with your lowest attribute, which I guess is one, sun or moon, not sure which makes the most sense. I don't think it does make a difference, but only on a critical, which I guess you won't be rolling.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and roll. But I think there's consequences of despair and heartbreak here. I think it's Jet's going to leave us, so I have to do it.
And I think maybe if you look down to the base of the ziggurat, you see that Redshift has abandoned, as you see it, maybe Apogee, and Apogee is standing there alone against the Horde.
Yeah. I rolled a five.
Okay, so another protagonist can push themselves or spend a link to keep you from succumbing. If they do not, you are an eclipse.
Ooh, can I push myself?
Yeah, you could push yourself to keep her from succumbing.
Okay, that will mean to stress, right? Ah,
Two
cool. I'm
stress.
still 1 point away from eclipse, so that's kind of fine.
So, like, do you like do something down there when she catches a glimpse of you that kind of makes her hold on to hope?
Yeah, I think you said that the big guy broke through the ziggurat, and I think that is when Apogee notices. So these little guys, they have to kind of go. So we'll slightly overclock maybe the brightness on Shamash's paint, reach up with the giant sword and just turn around once and just throw the horde, at least give me a bit of breathing space, and then there's a slightly bigger Leviathan, and I'll just use it as a stepping stone to jump up and go for the big one, maybe. Because
Okay,
I'm
yeah.
not going to go down in obscurity. I'm not.
Awesome. So
Redshift. Let's just
just
assume that you've made your way to, underneath the Leviathan, right? The old queen, through tunnels and, shafts that you barely knew existed.
sure, but that feel
Yeah,
not
that
all that.
feel well trodden to this engine at least.
Can you tell me anything about is the body of the Leviathan down here? You said that it was emerging out from the top of the ziggurat. Like, is it fully emerged, or is there still part of it down here?
I think most of it is still down here, right? And
Oh.
I but I think what's almost more terrifying than it is, you walk into this great central chamber, and arrayed around it there are praying masses. Like, there's a congregation here chanting to this Leviathan, raising it out of the depths. I'm afraid Matt doesn't like that.
Oh, supplicants, for what do you pray? Loudspeakers on, addressing the group. Shadowy sort of jaguar mech in that, out of the darkness, burning like embers.
Are you trying to
Empathize with these people, or are you trying to get them to cease and desist?
I think I really want to understand.
Okay. So
I really want to understand because, coming across this scene is a real challenge to what Cordelia and Redshift have thought about.
And I think the robes or the kind of religious accoutrement of this congregation are eerily close to your own temple, right? They are. It could be where you were yesterday, right? Before you came on this mission. Empathize.
I'll spend a link with my Scuttly Poka to make that better.
So that is worth an extra die.
That means I'm just rolling with one, right?
Yes, you're just rolling one.
I've got the stress to burn. I'll push.
Okay. So push and get help. So that's two dice.
Okay.
I mean, I know your transcendent push is, a monologue, but that doesn't seem like it's what you're going for.
No, I don't think that I'm gonna proselytize my way out of this one. If watch this were to apply here at all, it would be something to the effect of like, I want them to give a monologue to me, actually. Yeah, so I'll
So
roll
two dice. And we're still talking desperate action.
So I guess this is still transcendent. You're like speaking through your engine, and that is like maybe the only way these people would listen to you, right?
Not great.
Not great, no. And they tell you, and I
Think you understand. They have been shown the pain that they and their descendants will go through for generations with no hope. They have seen 99 out of 100 branches of this tree ending in despair and defeat. And this is the quickest way to end all of that. stop this excursion before it starts. I'm gonna make this like level three harm, I think. Like a big oof, you
Yeah,
know.
lay it on me.
Let's call this, you know, like utter despair.
Frankly, I'm ready to just let that ride.
Well, if you feel like it, maybe heavy gear is what you need.
If only because I've already spent my special armor.
But that's your
Okay,
special or your armor?
I'm gonna try to resist this utter despair, if only because there are still people upstairs who need me. People who I actually care about, not people who I care about in the abstract, you know? I don't know that I'll be able to re to like com negate this completely.
Yeah, I think maybe we push it down to level one, like, you know, self-doubt or something like that.
Call it
And we,
resign.
yeah.
Resign.
And I think resist the word moon, because this is despair or heartbreak, right?
Sure. So there's a risk of me going into eclipse here.
If
I feel it would be
you
appropriate.
roll a one, I guess, yeah.
Okay.
That's too stress.
I did it.
Yeah.
I really think something snaps, right? Something that had been bearing a lot, like some load-bearing column inside of Redshift Cordelia just snaps and is like, I don't even feel as though I've been lied to so much as I feel like I'm just sort of realizing like the kind of historical scope of the folly that she has been involved in. But there are, you know, I made some promises. I made some promises. So I think that the mane will flare once again in a decidedly darker shade of red than it was before. More smoke. I think there's like act, you know, there's like dark smoke sort of pouring out of the machine now. And she will probably make a dramatic entrance into whatever scene you set up next.
So I think, yeah, the camera swings back up to like above the ziggurat, and we see Apogee very aptly at the top of their jump to land on the Leviathan. What does this look like, and what are you hoping to land on?
Well, I mean, very big Leviathan, right? So it has mouth, I presume.
Yeah, probably that mouth is just about to come out and to
Well,
consume something.
yeah. Well, let's see. I will say on open comm, I say, guys, if I don't make it out, I don't make it out. It's fine, remember who I am. And then I jump into the mouth of the Leviathan. And I will say without the comm, like, Shamash, my friend, this might be it. Honor to meet you. And then I will say, hey, goddess with the spear, could really use your help now. And this might be the first time that I've prayed since I was a little child.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's room enough for everyone's vision of what this jaws slash mouth slash teeth look like, right?
I'm fine with Starluck.
But it is coming up out of the ziggurat that's been
Oh,
like
or maybe
sliced off. Is that right?
sandworm. Like big
Lots of little but really big teeth, right?
stoneworm. Stoneworm.
Okay.
Whatever. I'll
But it is coming up out of the ziggurat that's been sliced. Okay.
So what I guess the question is this just like something you're, this doesn't seem like just something you're saying. This seems like the real thing that Apogee is doing, right? The physical action is obviously important, but the kind of prayer, this, one night only, first and only time.
Well,
So is that express? What do you
yeah,
think?
I think it's expressed more than the, I may not like Defy, but this feels more like I like Express. And can I draw my connection with Shamash for this? Because we're in this together, right?
I'm not bright. I mean,
is
no,
that a?
just the link.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
up.
Of course. Yeah, you can
Okay.
spend a link. Yeah.
Okay, I'll spend the link. I don't know if bright, I mean, we are very bright as we jump in, but I don't know if within the Leviathan that will be a
Yeah, it
very,
doesn't seem.
very,
It doesn't quite seem to fit. So it's two dice.
it's two dice.
You could be
Getting help from someone else.
That would be nice, yeah. Somebody still got the stress, which I don't think.
It would push me to Eclipse once again.
Yeah.
I can't even push myself because I don't have enough stress left.
I mean, I wouldn't mind unless Redshift wants to help, I would go to Eclipse again.
I think Redshift is also ready in Eclipse.
I'm not in Eclipse, and
Oh, cool.
I'm ready to make a dramatic entrance here.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You took stress for that resistance, right? Ian?
Yeah, but I still have
Okay,
enough
you were
left.
that low. Okay.
I'm all the way down.
So, do I get assistance? If not, that's fine. I roll two dice.
Please. Please take please have a die for an assistance.
Thank you.
Just three.
And if it works, then you get to lose the stress.
True. Wow. Amazing. Cool.
I got it. Rules to actually use the abilities that you've taken.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Now be nice to me. There's a six.
There you go.
Big roll, big roll.
Yeah, well. I mean,
So, I mean,
I'm
I
pretty.
think the fact that
the spear is like almost at the top of the ziggurat in the hands of Yanis is kind of almost too perfect. So, I think in this kind of inspired motion, Lieutenant Kren, in the Yanis, throws the spear to you, and you grab it just as you come down into the jaws of death, the jaws of the old queen herself. But then, like, there's this moment where Apogee and Shamash like disappears into the darkness, and then like there's this lance of light from the sky that just follows him down.
I am inclined to cut there.
Yeah, just like a super wide shot of the landscape, like the ziggurat like illuminated from within, right?
And then we maybe
You see this like almost in a reversal of the minor leviathan surging up like a tide. You see this like tide of light sweep down the steps of the ziggurat and like just cleaning them off.
Yeah, like a shooting star from on high. I just
Yeah.
love the apogee and then the bright quality of Shamash and then the spear just like driving down. And I was going to bring this in before, but the condition for me to escape Eclipse is when my fated person defies your predictions and shows you they can alter the course of fate. And I feel like Jet pushed himself to keep me from Eclipse by both staying and fighting with us, not leaving, being a bright bulwark, but also refusing to be forgotten and be refusing to be consigned to oblivion. And I feel like that is a defiance of my predictions. And I just thought that was a great little touch there.
That was intentional.
Maybe Andrew's intention.
So I think we could go straight to epilogues.
I'm sorry, I messed up your big entrance.
No.
No, it's to Ian.
Oh no, that was perfect. That, you know, I don't I yeah, that was wonderful.
The entrance is going to be at the start of the next episode.
That's right.
Because this is
Season
a
three.
two, yeah, season
A
three.
two-parter,
This is a two-parter for sure.
a cliffhanger. No promises. But I mean your epilogue can be like right the next moment or a week after or whatever it is. Or if you want to stay off camera, it can be like your people talking about you or whatever it is. So Ian, let's get one for Redshift slash Cordelia first.
Yeah, I think that we're happy to like jump around a little bit in time here. I think it's a shot of Cordelia in the in this Tezcatlipoca, like basically like fishing around in the in what's left of this great Leviathan and like pulling Jet out by the nape of his neck as though he were a kitten. And like carrying him to safety. And then I think because we're on a planet, right? Which is not something that Cordelia has ever been, like she's never seen a living world. I think having delivered Jet to safety, the Jaguar will turn and vanish into the gathering twilight. In season three, she will be a, you know, she's going from being a lead character to a recurring guest character. She has some things to figure out, I think.
Matt, how about a purse?
I think Iris slips into full burnout student mode. Just can't. Once there was a hint of shucking her obligations and sort of, I think that night out with Jet really just changed things. Like one little disruption in her like colossal structure of routine, and one pull out one little brick and the whole thing comes tumbling down. So I think she's making unsanctioned trips to other timelines. I think maybe the scene we see is her spending time with Kren, but the Kren from the past that we from which we rescued Giannis, and trying to learn about what had happened leading up to that moment and everything that Kren knows that the Kren of today won't tell us or won't help us with. But maybe the scene, maybe the last little vignette or picture is of Iris in that same time stream where she sent Cordelia in the moment that she realized that Cordelia was Redshift. That place where Cordelia had been hurtling like a meteor, and seeing the two of them, that super anime shot. But I think I'm watching from a different perspective. It's not so like out of control. It's like sitting atop a mountain and just thinking about all the different ways her life could go from this point. And not wanting to have to think about them anymore.
Yeah, I think we see him back, but a little worse for wear, some scars from being inside this Mother Leviathan. We also see Janice, the
Scar from
engineer.
being hit by lightning, though.
What?
You were hit by lightning.
Yeah, I was hit by lightning. That's not super pleasant for a physical body. We also see the Janice machine, right? And we see Kren staring at it, and then heel turning because the machine won't answer to him. And then Kren walks off, and Jed gets in and says to the engine, like, "Hey, buddy, I lost my engine. Could use a new one. What do you think?" And there's a little light that's not immediately that it wakes up. There is a little light blinking, and later on we and then we see Serena, the priestess, being with him, and he turns to her and says, "I think that the goddess means for me to be with this. Can you help me? I don't know anything about the gods."
Wow, Jet, a man of the cloth.
Well, I mean, I think he has some of these lightning scars, right? That and some of them, one of them at least looks like that spear symbol.
Chosen one.
Excuse me, I did not catch that.
Chosen one.
It's not a scar for lightning on his forehead. It's not.
No, you're like four times more the chosen one. You got way more scars than that chump.
Yeah. Also, I'm not a whiny teenage. I'm a whiny teenager.
Okay, so I think
That's it. Let's stop the recording and then we might do a quick debrief.
Oh, one thing
Oh,
I
yeah.
would really love to see at some point in the preview for the next season to see a very much older Cordelia show up, because she what we left her in the past, right?
Oh yeah, she's gonna do some time traveling now for sure.
Yes, welcome to my world.
Okay.